out of here. I don't see Brett in the chat room, so I assume that Rick Smith will not be live tonight. Thank you all for your time this evening. Oh, funny how that works. All right, we'll take this after all. With Rick not going to air, I think we've got a couple of minutes before Malloy starts. Stand by. All right, let's try this again. Okay, well. Okay. So we'll just call it quits with this. I'm sure many of you are wanting to go over and see what Malloy has to say. I do as well. We will, if you wish. It will be hard to get away from this issue for a while. Continue to discuss this. If you didn't get a chance to speak your piece this evening, you will tomorrow night. Thank you for your patience through our technical difficulties. Believe me, it is not something that we want. But it is something that Ben and John are going to work furiously to resolve. I'll get the recorded portions of this program over to Ben for archiving purposes as soon as I possibly can. Thank you all very much again for all of your time, your contributions. I appreciate we all at the Horn appreciate your ongoing willingness to make sure that this continues. And I think tonight is a pretty good argument for why it should. So if you want to hit the PayPal button, it would be much appreciated. And so many thanks to those of you who did over the weekend. We actually met the first week's fundraising goal, which was a beautiful sign going forward into the new year, such as it is. Thank you. Thank you to our chat room moderator, Lottie, to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan, to our blogger, Texas Betsy, to our op-ed columnist, Reverbo, you heard from him this evening, Cavalcade of Crazy, headonradionetwork.com. Thank you to my head writer, David in Tennessee. Our Southeast correspondent is Matt Osborne at osborneinc.com. If you go over to Crooks and Liars, he has a brilliant essay analyzing what this means for liberals and progressives going forward and how to respond to the massive hatred that flows like a mighty sewer out of the right wing. And thanks again to John Fox and Ben Birch. The work that they did this evening is why the show continued. And I appreciate that kind of work on the fly more than they know and more than you know. Of course, thanks always go out to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net and coalriverwind.org. What I have learned about nonviolence and what I have learned about remaining firm and standing up bravely as possible in the face of vicious right-wing attacks, I have learned by observing the dedication and courage of Coal River Mountain Watch. There is no organization like it on the planet, no how, no where. CRMW.net and coalriverwind.org. And always, 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 Gina, Judy, it's all for you.
Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Half past the hour. It is Monday. It is the 10th day of January 2011. And ordinarily, we would be getting started on Moran Monday right now. You know, that day of the week that is dedicated to right-wing asshattery, right-wing ignorance, right-wing poison, right-wing hate, all things wicked and right-wing. And Lord knows there's more than enough any given Monday for two or three shows. But in light of what happened over the weekend, I don't think that that is appropriate. Instead, I think I want to go to your thoughts and perhaps share some of my own. I anticipate this will be a difficult and, in fact, quite possibly perplexing evening. Because, you see, I'm a liberal. And as a liberal, I am not prone to accept pat answers. I am not prone to tolerate mendacity and obfuscation. But there are a lot of things that need to be said about this that need to be said from various and sundry points of view and perspectives. There's the question of language, first and foremost. If you are a longtime listener to this program, you may recall that on occasion, well, on a number of occasions, we have talked about right-wing eliminationism. And we have pointed out the right-wing eliminationist language, their vocabulary, if you will, and how everything to a right-winger is a battle, or a war, or a fight, and things. And they name things jobs killing, health care repeal, you know. And they take dead aim and they lock and load and they reload, and they just can't seem to resist the language of death, the language of mayhem, the language of maiming, the language of slaughter, the language of agony, the language of injustice, the language that lies at the beating heart of the core of the right-wing being. And you may also recall that I have tried for years now to excise that stuff from my language. I don't always succeed. But if you're paying close attention, for instance, when I talk about that issue that is nearest to the well-being of me and my family and me, you will note that I long ago stopped referring to it as the fight against mountaintop removal. Because as a member of an organization that espouses and adheres to and believes in and practices nonviolence in the spirit of Dr. King and Gandhi, and I'm talking about Coal River Mountain Watch, we have an obligation to reject eliminationist language in all its myriad forms. And so you may hear me talking about the attempt to stop mountaintop removal in Appalachia, and unless I am very unguarded in my words, you will hear me refer to it as a struggle to end mountaintop removal. Because that is appropriate language. It is a struggle. It is also dangerous.
very dangerous. As Judy Bonds, for instance, learned when a supporter and an acolyte of Massey Energy stepped into a group of peaceful protesters and struck her in the head, even as we now know that cancer was growing in her brain. It is dangerous. But their violence cannot breed in us our own violent language. If for nothing else, for practical reasons, we don't have half the guns that they have. And they are willing to use them. So, just that thought on language. If you ever have described something as your fight against this, or your battle against that, or a war on this, or a war on that, do yourself a favor and excise the eliminationist language from your vocabulary. I'm not trying to censor you. I think it's just common sense. You know, we might have had more luck dealing with poverty in this country if we hadn't declared war on it. We might have had more success in dealing with the scourge of illegal drugs in this country if we hadn't declared war on them. Maybe this country needs a concerted and decided and determined effort to battle back the bugbear of ignorance instead of declaring war on illiteracy. I believe it was the Israeli peacemaker Yitzhak Rabin, if I've got my Israelis right, who said, the history of humanity is written, and I'm paraphrasing, the history of humanity is written in an ink made with blood. And if humanity is to survive, we would do well to start looking for another color. Of course, he paid with his life, did he not? Do I have the right prime minister? The one that was gunned down by a right-wing zealot? Yeah, Texas Betsy, you're right. They can't even describe a dispute over a holiday, a dispute that they manufacture, without calling that a war on Christmas. War drives them. They are martial masturbationists. And that is how eliminationist language seeps into our own vocabulary. I suspect it will be a very busy evening. And I make you this promise. I will not fail to take a single call. If you want to discuss this, I think it is very important that you be able to discuss what happened over the weekend. Before we go to the phones, and I'll tell you now, the number, most of you know, but there may be some new listeners. We get new listeners all the time via things like Stitcher. There's an app you can get for your iPhone or your Android phone from Stitcher that will bring you the horn right through your phone. Isn't that cool? And there's an app called TuneIn Radio. And there's just plain old-fashioned, can you imagine calling iTunes old-fashioned, but plain old-fashioned iTunes Radio, where we have been for years. And then there's the streams from White Rose Society, the stream that you can pick up via pop-up players at headonradionetwork.com. There's a lot of different ways to reach the program. And if you want to get on the program and you want to discuss the Tucson terrorist, I welcome it. If you want to discuss the culture and language of hate and eliminationism that has been fostered in this country by the right wing, I welcome it. The number is 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. If you want to, if you don't need to call the toll-free line, you can reach us at area code 304-658-3333. Email comes in to Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, at gmail.com. I want to go to a couple of emails before we go to the phones, however, because they come from a very important place. I got an email today from Barry. It was the message line just said, "Hello from Tucson. Bob, I'm a listener and a supporter. What happened here can't be explained. I do find comfort in your show and the telephone conversations. Keep on doing what you do. Arizona is full of amazing people. Please don't get the wrong idea about us." And Barry, I don't have the wrong idea. I know that this entire country, Arizona included, is filled with amazing people. I come from a corner of America, Appalachia, where people are routinely stereotyped as being barefoot, ignorant, and violent, and some of us certainly are. But so many more of us are not. No, I will not stereotype Arizona out of this. But we will have to talk honestly about how this comes about. Because as long as these things are described as isolated incidents, they will continue to happen and they will continue to get worse. And that's important to note. They will get worse. But no, I don't have the wrong idea, Barry. And I thank you. I thank you for the time that you share with us in listening to the program and participating as you do. Then there's this, there's an email in from our longtime dear friend, Fancy. Fancy Free from the chat room. Fancy wrote earlier this weekend, she said, "Tucson," well, the subject line said, "from a very sad city. Dear Bob, Tucson is not a sophisticated city. We're a frontier town, unpretentious and a step or two behind the fads, a live-and-let-live town that celebrates diversity. We're not exempt from terrorism, it seems. Gaddy Giffords was a classmate of my daughter's. Her sister was a classmate of my son's. Her office is about 10 blocks from where I live. We're shocky and confused. In many cases, I believe the perpetrator is as much a victim as the victim. People who are provoked into violence by her hyperbole and invective are victims too. Wishing all quiet, peace, and a time of healing." And go back and pay attention to that line. The perpetrator is as much a victim as the victim. People who are provoked into violence by hyperbole and invective are victims too. It may be argued, and it will have to be sorted out in the justice system, as to whether or not this young man, this Jared Lee Loughner, was insane at the time of the crime. I personally don't think he was. And the legal standards for an insanity defense are so high in this country as to render them almost useless. But it may well be argued that Jared Lee Loughner was in fact a victim. And he was the victim of a culture that treats the mentally ill as utterly disposable. Of a culture where a greasy-headed old right-wing freak named Ronald Reagan defunded mental health facilities all across the country and turned the most weak, the most weary, the most wounded in our society out onto the streets. Jared Lee Loughner may have been a victim of this country's failure to give a damn about him. So in that respect, I think Fancy may have been right. There is too much tragedy to comprehend. A 9-year-old little girl ...79-year-old great-grandmother. The wife of a husband. The couple having been married for in excess of 50 years. There's too much tragedy. Please stand by for a moment. Apparently we have crashed again. I'll be right back. Highly frustrating, this. Okay, I'm hearing from John Fox that we're having some database issues on the server. Bear with me, please. This is highly frustrating. It defeats one's sense of continuity to a certain extent. Where was I? Yes, victims. We know a number of things now. We know, for instance, by virtue of a JPEG that I was sent from horn psychotherapist Rick Goodner. We know that Jared Lee Loeffner was a registered Republican. No getting around it. He just was. The question is, will the for-profit media see that as a valuable piece of evidence or information? My guess is no, they will not, the for-profit media. Because the for-profit media lives for things like false equivalences. Things like, well, you know, both sides have their heated rhetoric. No, they don't. Both sides don't put crosshairs on people's names and tell their followers to reload and refer to the people as having been targeted. Both sides don't do that. Only one side does that. I don't know if you are a tweeter. If you are, you may have found some interest in a hashtag over the weekend called Both Sides Don't. And it was huge. I posted a number of Both Sides Don'ts. And Both Sides Don't. Both Sides Don't block bills that would protect little American children from sex trafficking. Both sides don't do that. Only one side does that. And here's a hint. It ain't the liberals. Both sides don't have multimillionaire broadcasters who tell African American callers to call me back when you get that bone out of your nose. Both sides don't have broadcasters who tell a gay caller to, what? You make me sick. Why don't you go out and get, I hope you get out, go out and get AIDS and die. Both sides don't do that. But they just don't. They just don't. I'm waiting on word back on the server. But I'm not. I'm not streaming. So stand by, please, while we try to resolve this. But just the same, okay, we will go to the phones as though this were a live program, and we'll put it out there later because I hate having people just sitting around on hold. Hey, welcome to the program.
Is it me?
It's you. Who is you?
This is Grant from Portland.
Hey, Grant, what's happening?
Man, I don't even know where to begin. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. Well, I mean, that's why I said this could be a perplexing and confusing evening.
Oh, man. In 48 hours, I saw the overthrow of the franchise of the District of Arizona, and then the right wing spin it to be a left wing intolerant. Okay. At base of this fucking current.
Mm-hmm.
Can you believe this shit? Can you believe this shit, Bob?
No.
I'll tell you something, man.
Well, see, that's a tough question. It seems like a simple question, Grant, but it's not. Because the same part of me wants to say, no, I can't believe this. But you know what, Grant? I can. I can believe it because the right wing has been aching for it, yearning for it, and in fact, Grant, doing it for years now. And every time one of these things happens, the for-profit media jumps right out there in front and repeats the talking points of the right wing. Well, this is an isolated incident perpetrated by a man who was clearly deranged. Do you remember Jim Adkison and the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of the Tennessee Valley in Knoxville? Remember him?
Or Tides or any of the...
Right. But Jim Adkison in particular, because that was that early on, that was one of those cases. The guy took a shotgun, marched into a Unitarian church, because he said in his manifesto that if he couldn't take out the liberal leaders, he'd take out some of their foot soldiers. And them Unitarians is all liberals. Okay?
I hear you.
All right, so he goes in. They're watching a children's production of Annie. And he starts blowing away people with his shooting gun. Now, back at home, he's got Bill O'Reilly books, Sean Hannity books, and Bernie Goldberg's book about people who are ruining America. You couldn't draw any more clear lines between cause and effect than you could in Jim Adkison. And there stands, and there stood the for-profit media to declare, clearly this man is deranged and politics has nothing to do with it.
Okay, well, let's dance.
But wait, because there's a denouement here.
Hmm.
Jim Adkison was not found not guilty by reason of insanity. Jim Adkison is serving life without parole in the Tennessee correctional system as we speak. And he is serving it there as a person who is as sane as you or me.
Uh-huh. So... question. What happened to the Jimmy and Jane clean hands who painted a target on everybody?
Well,
oh,
and that's...
We didn't do nothing. Oh, no. We didn't do nothing. We simply painted a target on somebody. Like the dickless fucking wonders they are. Okay? They paint a target on someone. Oh, don't give up. You betcha, pole dancer fucking talk. Okay? Reload. What the fuck is that? What the fuck is that?
You know what, Grant? You know nine-year-old little Christina Taylor Greene.
No shit, man. I'm fucking livid.
Yeah, well, let me make it worse. Over at Sarah Palin's Facebook page... her PAC page.
Oh, she's gonna grow up to be a Democrat! a Democrat.
And, wait, Grant.
I got to interject something here, Bob. This is the same shit under COINTELPRO when it infiltrated the Weathermen. This is the same fucking rhetoric they came up with. Oh, why don't we just drown white Anglo-Saxon boys to keep them from becoming these monsters? It's the same shit from the same source.
Well, and that's the interesting thing. Sarah Palin's page on Facebook was assiduously scrubbed of every criticism. But then one came on and said, it's okay. Christina Taylor Greene was probably going to end up a left-wing, bleeding-heart liberal anyway. Hey, as they say, what would you do if you had the... What? Wait. Listen. Hey, as they say, what would you do if you had the chance to kill Hitler as a kid? Exactly. And she left her people, left that up, Grant. They left that up. Didn't get scrubbed for hours.
No shit.
Now, they were scrubbing stuff... they were scrubbing stuff from her page literally from 1 minute to the next. From 1738 hours to 1739 hours. From 1747 to 1748 hours. Gone by 1750 hours. But then that one shows up. And this is all Greenwich Mean Time.
Dude, I got the dance. It's called the Ministry of Fucking Truth. The 80-plus octopus tendrils. They call their fucking think tanks the Ministry of Fucking Truth. Oh, I didn't know I was in league with Goldstein until the child with the door horn told me so. I mean, it's just like, it's fucking endless with these people. I'm going to tell you this. I grew up in Arizona, too, in my youth. I was methodical in the exercise of my fucking franchise, dude. I read the ballot. I read the everything. I voted with my eyes open, clearly making choices. When somebody puts a bullet in my congressperson's head, it is an overthrow of my fucking franchise in the republic. God damn it.
That's the truth.
I jealously guard my fucking franchise. You dig?
I do. That's a stunning way of looking at it. Yeah, everybody who voted for Gabby Giffords had their vote negated by this monster.
No shit. And here's the fucking problem. We got Jimmy and Jane Clean Hands in Rwanda motherfucking media pushing the dog whistle fucking buttons on these motherfuckers. And you think this is the end? This is the fucking beginning. This shit is only going to continue until something, somehow, I don't know, a slap across the face in some of the fucking crackers in the FBI get their shit together, stop playing street theater with our fucking lives, get off their fucking asses, and do their fucking job, and start getting on this shit.
Grant, it's clear that you are furious. It is clear that you are furious, and justifiably so. But the question is, what is
out of ground people and get off their fucking ass and start getting into these cracker fucking enclaves.
Do you remember when the report came out in late 2009 that was authored, or March of 2009 that was authored by the Bush administration? But it came out under Obama and warned America about the rise of right-wing domestic terrorism, and Fox and Hannity and Savage and O'Reilly and Beck all screamed, they're making it, they're trying to shove, but they're going to censor us. I remember that.
Yeah. Dickless fucking wonders, I'll tell you what.
But the question, Grant, And I want you to just take a breath and see if we can come up with some sort of processing answer.
Okay.
The question is not what does the government do, because whatever the government does, they will probably get wrong. I mean, let's just say that. I heard discussions today about new laws that are going to be introduced. And the thing is, the problem with introducing new laws after something like this, you get Patriot Acts. In other words, you get things that don't make anything any better and certainly do go a long way toward making things worse. The question is not what the government's going to do. The question is, what do we do? You and me, us, the Horn family, liberals, progressives across this country, what do we do? Because the thing that scares me to death, because there's history for it, Grant, and I was talking with Bo Webb about this earlier today. You know, we talk about Blair Mountain, and you've heard me talk about Blair Mountain and the Battle of Blair Mountain and its historical significance for being the largest land battle in the United States subsequent to the Civil War. And they're trying to destroy that battlefield now. But the fact of the matter is, when it got to the point where the Battle of Blair Mountain took place, the people who were trying to do the right thing, the people who were standing up for their basic human dignity, you know, the working people, the miners, lost. Grant, they lost. They got stomped. They got buried. And labor was not heard of again in the Appalachian coal fields until the passage of the Wagner Act, the National Labor Relations Act, in the FDR administration 15 years later. That's what you call losing. And once they took up arms, the other side, the coal companies, the state militia, the National Guard, the federal military, went about the business of showing them just how many guns they had. And the one thing that I feel absolutely morally compelled to do is to preach nonviolence a little bit louder out of all of this. And I will.
I hear you, dude.
Because the minute we try, the right wing's the one that loves all the biblical literalism and all of that crap. They're the ones that plead that eye for an eye business. But somewhere out there, there are people who are getting very, very angry about all this. And I beg and I plead and I implore and I urge that this is the time. This is the time, Grant, when we must take the principles of nonviolence absolutely in earnest. Gandhi, Dr. King, even the message of Jesus Christ, we must take it absolutely in earnest. We must oppose them, but nonviolence is not the same as being passive. There's a big difference. The for-profit media will not report that the Tucson terrorist was a registered Republican. They will not report it, just like they wouldn't report it when it turned out that the BTK killer in Kansas was a registered Republican. See, the Republican Party, Grant, has a murder problem.
Goddamn right they do.
And they don't want to acknowledge it. We don't have a murder problem. And we're not very good at acknowledging that either.
Because we're not murderers. We're decent fucking people.
Right, and that's the point. We need to point out that we are the good people here. And we need to absolutely discredit this notion that both sides do it, because both sides don't.
Yeah, well, I've already blown kind of past that. I saw that for what that was. Question is, in my mind is this. Okay, listen. The thing is, I see here, is we've got a framing problem where a beck in the wind or a flush phlegm ball or whatever you got out there is basically, you know, dog whistling these people. And we're going to have an endless supply of these little torpedoes they send out into the world. It's like they're working a psychological operation here. And where in the fuck do these people start to have some kind of legal goddamn culpability? My God.
And that's a discussion that has to be had in this country, and it is not happening because of the failure of the for-profit media. You know, I tweeted 100 times yesterday, if I tweeted, no, I didn't, but I tweeted it several times, that the, it is important to note, because, you know, Sheriff Dubnik, was saying that free speech sometimes has costs. Well, the problem is, the things that Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Neil Bortz and Glenn Beck and on and on and on and on, the things that they are doing are not within any theory of constitutional law, free speech.
So here's the question I have.
We have got to absolutely apply the incitement statute.
Well, excuse me. Yeah, exactly. It's like they're not only calling fire, they're bringing flares and gasoline.
Yes!
What the fuck? I mean, we have a dickless wonder, Eric Holder, a UBS creature, that doesn't see fit to prosecute or pursue criminal referrals on culpable fucking action! What the fuck?
Well, again, Bradley Manning has been tortured for 2 months. And all we hear on the for-profit media is that Loeffner refuses to cooperate. Well, you know, the point is, I don't think Bradley Manning should be tortured.
Well, no shit.
And I don't think Loeffner should be tortured.
He embarrassed them. Oh, my God. What a horror.
But what a standard we apparently have.
They had to move the coke money from one account to the other. Oh, wow. What a fucking horror. Meanwhile, back at the ranch,
yeah,
we got people's franchise being over fucking thrown by a 30-clip fucking, what is it, wind-up moron of a beck in the wind.
Yeah.
Fuck!
Well, Grant, I tell you what, I think you have set the new record for the use of the F-word in any given conversation.
Man, I am the F-bomb master. Because I am fucking livid. I've been watching people getting their heads stomped.
And that's why I'm not objecting. When people get their head, you know, when people get blown away.
Assassinated, dude.
Yeah, I think it's okay. But I'm gonna take some more of these calls, Grant. And I thank you for getting us going, brother.
Right on. Whatever.
All right. Take care. Bye now.
Yeah.
Grant calling from Oregon. And onward we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, it's Megan.
Hey, Megan, what's up?
Well, I was about to ask you what I was allowed to say, but I think Grant already took care of that this evening.
Yeah, well, I think he fulfilled everybody's quota of F words for tonight.
Well, personally, I've been really angry about this since it happened, and the thing that bothers me the most that sits on my conscience is the fact that I was shocked by it, but I wasn't really all that surprised.
No, who among us was surprised? How can you be surprised, Megan, at something that the right wing has said they were going to do for a couple of years now? And more to the point, have been doing?
I'd like to know, personally, why in the hell is Sarah Palin not in custody right now? Because I think, I don't know if it was you or someone else, either on Facebook or Twitter, that pointed out, if this had been a school shooting.
Yes.
Okay? This had been a school shooting, and a student had put up a map of students with the crosshairs over them, they would be in custody so quick their heads would spin.
And they would be charged with making terroristic threats.
Thank you. And, by the way, didn't the NRA protest or held a rally at Columbine after that whole tragedy went down?
No, Denver.
My question...
But no, that stuff's already gone out far and wide. You know, guns don't kill people, people kill people. I've got examples, Megan. Let's see. Let me see if I can find it here. David Frum, who is a real POS, David Frum said, after horrific shootings, we hear calls for stricter regulation of guns. The Tucson shooting should remind us why we regulate marijuana. Jared Lee Loughner, the man held as the Tucson shooter, has been described by those who know as a pot-smoking loner. After the Tucson shooting, there may be renewed Megan. After the Tucson shooting, there may be renewed pressure to control the weapons that committed the crime. But what about the drugs that may have aggravated the killer's mental disease? See, the for-profit media have already diagnosed him with mental disease.
Not mental disease. What fucking pot smoker do you know goes out, buys a gun, shoot people? You're lucky if you can find your own feet. They pull this stuff out of thin air, and it has no basis on the facts. And well, my question is, where were all the gun-toting citizens in this crowd to stop this shooter from doing what he did and killing all these people?
Well, you know, your point and my point are well taken, apparently, because Michael Moore also asked the question, if a Detroit Muslim put a map on the web with crosshairs on 20 politicians and then one of them got shot, where would the Muslim be sitting right now? Says Michael Moore, just asking.
But Sarah Palin sent an email to Glenn Beck today saying that there's going to be no peace for our children until there are no more people that want to seize this tragedy for their own gain. Excuse me? Bitch, what the hell are you on?
But you know what? They like to say that, well, the left, you know, the imaginary left, the left is trying to politicize this for their own gain. Well, let me be the first member of the left to say, yes, I am trying to politicize this for my own gain, because I don't want to get shot by some half-trot right-winger, okay? If not having more people subjected to political murder, terrorism, domestic right-wing terrorism, is what we're going to, is the definition of politicizing something for my own gain, darn right, I'm a politicizing it. Because I'm tired. I can't stand it. I can't stand it. Agnes just walked around all day Saturday and Sunday muttering, that poor little girl, that poor little girl, that poor little girl. Third grade, 9 years old, went to see her congresswoman as a treat for having just gotten elected to the student council, and gets blown away by a registered Republican. And as Texas Betsy notes in the chat room, the teabaggers are already raising money off of this.
What a sick bunch of you-know-what.
But see, we're not eye-for-an-eye types. I don't want to go out there and see anybody done violence. I have never, ever, not once on this program, advocated violence against any human being.
And you know what, Bob? Since Saturday, I've listened to you, Olbermann, Ed Schultz, not just saying sorry outright, but saying, hey, this program, if I have done anything to even hint at it, I apologize. And yet Limbaugh is out there bitching that this is all a Democratic conspiracy for them to get votes.
And don't forget, ruin this country and bankrupt our grandchildren. I heard the clip today. But, you know, Megan, I got to tell you, I'm a little bit proud here, because I think I was sort of ahead of the curve on recognizing that we have to take the war and the battle against and the fight for out of our language.
It's not just taking it out of the language. It's the frickin' mentality. You don't go out and shoot people who not just disagree with you, but you don't put that rhetoric out there for the crazies to hear you. You know, there's needed debate, there's passionate debate, and then there's this, you don't put a freaking map with crosshairs, you don't make cracks about retreat and reload and all these stupid gun metaphors to get what you want, and then have something like this happen and not take responsibility for it. It just blows my mind. It blows my mind. I can't even... She wants to be president? Are you kidding me?
Well, now you get a little better idea of what Sarah Palin was talking about when she was babbling
about death panels. Megan, thank you very much. You want to hold and listen, or can you listen otherwise?
No, yeah, go ahead and put me on hold. Thanks, Bob.
Okay, take care. Bye now.
Bye.
Megan calling from Delaware. This is a little blast from the past. This came from our buddy David in South Carolina. It was originally emailed to me on the 26th of October, 2010. I think I read it on air at the time, but it bears rereading. The subject line merely said, combustible. David wrote, the air is combustible. It feels like 1968, or in South Carolina, 1838, 1858, 1868, too. And I can remember even here when the yard sign competitions were fun and people laughed them off, but now the anger is different and has become chronic anger, as in mean. Here in South Carolina, it's not safe to have the wrong bumper stickers or yard signs up around here. I'm serious. And I remember in 2008. We had an Obama sign in our yard, and our children, every day they got on the bus, were told, oh, y'all got a nigger, y'all must be nigger lovers. And we had nails thrown in our driveway. Oh, I remember it very well. I remember it very well. We will move on. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, what's up? Vince?
Yeah.
How's it going?
It's going great. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you.
I got a bad connection.
Well, you sound like you're in a barrel, but I can make you out.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, I'm talking to you over my internet connection, and my internet connection stinks. My phone's actually non-functional at the moment.
I get it.
So, I gotta say, between the last two callers, I understand where they're coming from, but whew, if you were actually on the radio, man, the FCC fines could pay for this station for about the next 20 years.
Yeah, that's the truth. Like, yeah, we have absolutely worn out the, yeah. But I understand where that anger and that frustration comes from. And the thing that's important to realize, Vince, is that this isn't, you know, neither in what Megan said nor in what Grant said, was there even one iota of, one scintilla of an urge toward violent retribution. This is the rage. This is the rage of anguish. This is the frustration of massive pain.
I was just getting ready to say that you know, I heard a lot of F-bombs. I saw a lot of GDs and whatnot, but never once did I hear anyone say something along the lines of, you know what, we need to kill these people, or, you know, I wish they would just go somewhere and die. I never once heard that.
No.
And that's the difference between us and them.
Here's a funny for you. I was tweeting along the last couple of days, a right winger from a week or so ago decided to engage me, and I just typed ESAD to him, ESAD. You know what that means?
Nah, I'm afraid I don't.
Eat shit and die.
Okay, yeah.
He said.
And I was going to bring that up because I don't know if you noticed or not, but I engaged the same guy.
Oh, did you? Okay. But the guy came in, you're wishing death on me. And it's like, you know, Wingnut, did you go out just because I said it? Did you go out and eat some poo? Are you feeling queasy? But, you know, if you went and looked at his profile, it said, conservative Christian follower, lover of the Constitution. And that's, you knew all you needed to know.
Yeah.
These people think that wishing something is the same as doing it. Whereas there's a difference between something like ESAD and putting crosshairs on people on maps.
Well, this was the point that I made to the same guy, as I was sitting there saying, look, there's a difference between sitting there and saying that there are certain people that you feel this world would be, frankly believe, would be better off if they died. There are some people that I believe that way about, especially in certain political circles. That's how I feel. That being said, you know, am I going to go shoot these people? Am I going to incite somebody? Am I going to sit here and say, you know what, somebody ought to go shoot that person? No. There is a difference. Let me go ahead and tell you a story here real quick, and this has to do about the Sarah Palin Facebook thingy. When you posted that up, I immediately turned around and posted that up on my Facebook. Something along the lines of, leaving a negative comment about Sarah Palin on her Facebook page equals comment removed, saying that killing a 9-year-old girl was fine because she was, quote, probably going to end up a left-wing bleeding heart liberal anyway, unquote, equals comment left alone. This right-winger friend of mine, and he's a friend, I mean...
I know, we've all got him.
I live in Georgia and Florida. You can't help it. unless you're just a recluse. But one of these right-winger friend of mine, basically, his whole point of the... First of all, he was sitting here trying to get me off base, because they always do that, because they know they can't argue on the point that you're making. So they sit there and they try and get you off base, and his basic thing was, you know, well, hey, you know, it's her right to, you know, remove that stuff from her Facebook page, and Obama does it too, and blah, blah. To which I simply pointed out, look, I'm not commenting or criticizing her removal of comments on her Facebook page. It's her Facebook page. It's her right to do. Facebook is not a public space. It's a private space. It's on private property, both virtually speaking and also on terms of her profile speaking. It's a private company. So free speech does not exist there, nor should it, in my personal opinion. We're getting into kind of other things that we can discuss at some other time. I'm just saying you're getting my point, I'm hoping. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I get it. I'm following.
Okay. My argument is not that she's removing stuff.
No, the whole point is look what she left up.
Exactly. And then he immediately he kept trying to segue off of this, and I basically kept saying, look, I'm not going to get segued into this because that's not my issue, and I'm not arguing with you on this point because I don't disagree with you on this point. I said, my point is it's this kind of freaking rhetoric that causes it. And you know what the dude's response was? He sits there, well, it's not really her staff. It's just a word search program that just removes certain things. Look, this isn't just a bunch of F-bombs or something we're talking about. These aren't posts that contain gratuitous, you know, curse words or any curse words whatsoever. There are, you know, well-reasoned, polite, but critical comments that are just within minutes disappeared off the face of the site. And they act like it's, you know, oh, well, it's a program. No program is that specific. If it is, then I got bets that that machine they're about to play on Jeopardy against the human opponents are going to win because it's that darn smart. Frankly, I don't buy it.
No.
And you know, they're already doing it. I mean, they're sitting here and the right-wingers are already, you know, before they even got up on Monday morning, before... Morbid as this is going to be, before the heat was out of that dead girl's body, they were already sitting there trying to say, how are we going to spin this so that, you know, this is a lefty problem, that we're not responsible for this, that this has got nothing to do with what we have said or the things that we have been saying. These people have sat here and said, you know, quote, that, you know, if ballots don't work, bullets will. They have said things along the lines of, you know, well, there's a second...
A woman who said that was a woman who said exactly that was the first choice of new Republican Congressman Alan West of Florida. She was his first choice for his chief of staff or communications director. I forget which. Oh, she's a vile thing.
Yeah, and I mean, but these people sit here and they say these things and that... They sit there and they expect us to believe that we are taking their comments not in the manner in which they were intended. How do you interpret a Second Amendment solution to something? What other possible way could you sit there and try and, you know, I mean, I'm the king of trying to get out of things. Trust me, ask some people in my family. I was real good at it when I was a kid. I cannot think of any way to spin that as anything less than the threat that I think that it is.
Well, I don't think you can be honest with yourself and do that. You just can't. It's, well, again, this is the saddest, sorriest, sickest example, Vince, of IOKIYAR. It's okay if you're a Republican. Because Sarah Palin can say it. Bortz can say it. Limbaugh can say it. And they can hide behind the skirts of the First Amendment, when in fact, if we were serious about our Constitution at all, it would be a no-brainer to recognize that this is not protected speech. It's no more protected speech than when that goober in Florida was going to burn the Quran. It is incitement to violence. And no framer of the First Amendment, no jurisprudence on the First Amendment suggests that such speech is protected. It is protected, however, by the registration status of Sarah Palin as a member of the Republican Party. And that is all there is to it. It really is that simple. Because what I said and what Michael Moore said is true.
Absolutely.
If a kid, without ever pulling a trigger or doing anything, if a kid had a piece of notebook paper in which he had written the names of teachers and put crosshairs by them, or classmates and put crosshairs by them.
Oh, please, Bob, I couldn't wear a trench coat when I was in high school.
Don't see? But there you have it. That kid, and it's happened. It's happened all over this country. It's happened more than once, Vince. The kid gets taken in and charged federally with making terroristic threats. And the only difference between that kid and Sarah Palin is the fact that she is a registered Republican, and it's okay if you are a Republican.
If I can segue here for just a moment.
Do please.
Because we can beat this to death, but I think it's already been covered pretty well. You touched on something earlier, which was actually the main point I wanted to bring up, but I just had to share that story about the idiot trying to tell me it's a word machine that's filtering the comments. And also you brought up the right winger on your Twitter page, which I wanted to bring up too, just because I thought it was funny. Sad, but funny. And you may disagree with me, Bob, but please understand I'm coming from somebody who comes from a mental illness background. We have to remember this kid is also a victim. I can't think of his name, but the dude who actually did the shooting.
Jared Lee Lothar.
He's a victim too, and I'll tell you why. Because in this country, no matter where you go, there is no help for people like him. None. Especially not if you don't have health care. Even if you have health care, in a lot of cases, it doesn't cover mental illness type things. I know my insurance does not. My insurance that I get from my job, it's not bad insurance. I can go to a doctor and the only thing I've got to pay is about the $20 copay. You know, if I get sick, I can go. But it does not cover mental health issues. And from what I understand, talking to several people that I know, that is pretty much the norm. We have the right wingers to think for that too. The likes of Reagan and, you know, all that stuff. Cause we used to have, you know, it wasn't a great system, but it was a fairly decent funded mental health program. And the simple fact of the matter is that we were talking about this kid earlier about, you know, the drugs he was on and how many people do you know who smoke pot? Pot does not incite people to violence. Pot is a depressant drug. That's why, you know, it's been approved for certain medical things. As a matter of fact, somebody in the chat room who I cannot think of at the moment, and I can't credit, maybe you can go back and do it, but was making the comment that, you know, he had given up pot some years earlier. You know, if the kid had stayed on pot, this might not have ever happened. If the kid had access to some kind of medication, be it pot or otherwise, if he'd had professional help, if he'd had somewhere he could turn to or somewhere to go, somebody who could sit there and, you know, have, you know, been talking to him, you know, and said, whoa, 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 wait a minute, dude. Slow down a second. You might want to think this one through. Here, have some pills. You know, not that I'm saying pills are always the answer, but somebody.
Well, they're a darn sight better answer than mass murder.
Yeah. No, but I mean, I don't want to give the impression that I'm, you know, for throwing pills on any mentally, you know, I personally suffer from type 2 bipolar disorder, manic depression. I'm not on medication. That was a decision that me and my doctor came to after I had been on medication for a while, recognized what I had, and taught, and had worked in some self-management things, and it works for me. But I'm just saying, I was lucky. There's a really great man who I really wish to God is listening to this program. Sadly, he probably is not, but his name is Dr. Warren. And I ran into Dr. Warren on a little bit of a fluke. Forgive me, my cat is meowing at me.
Happens all the time.
My cat doesn't like any of this either. But, you know, he basically is a retired psychiatrist who saw a need in his community that was not being met. And he basically just started seeing people when he could, you know. He was retired. He's an old guy. You know, not that old is bad. I'm just saying he's a very elderly man. But he still has his license, and he basically just started doing, you know, work for people on his own. Because not only was there no community help or anything like that in my area, which was Kingsland at the time, up in Georgia, there wasn't even professional service. If you had medical insurance and could go pay to somebody, there was no local psychiatrist within a 60, 70 mile radius of where we were. Did not exist. He moved to the area, found out what it was like. You know, he came there for retirement, Bob. You know, and he did what he could, but even in my area, which is, you know, not necessarily a big city or anything, or, you know, anything bad like that, but...
Right, but see, what you're describing there is, I'm not lessening the impact of what you said by saying this. It is sadly all too familiar in all kinds of rural areas all over this country, Vince. The fact is, one of the things that was included in the health care bill, you know, what is it, the job caring health care, it was some Klingon word, but I worked it out, one of the things that they want to absolutely repeal is the thing that Bernie Sanders of Vermont fought, see how easy it is, advocated so hard to have in the bill.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a rural health care initiative.
And
clinics that would be able to afford at least de minimis mental health services. And the right wing in the Republican Party wants to get rid of it. And while we're on the issue of mental health and medicine and things like that, let me say this much, Vince. I thought the right wing delaying everything for the coming week, including their vote to repeal health care on Wednesday, I thought that was one of the most sickening, pusillanimous BS moves I've ever seen. So what? This week it would be insensitive to take health care away from people who might be laying in the hospital with gunshot injuries, but next week it won't be?
Yeah, like...
By God, I want these dirty bastards to own it. If you want to vote on it, you vote on it Wednesday, you rotten... See?
And this is something else, and I was just getting ready to say this. It's not going to happen, because I have no faith that anybody in the Democratic Party who's elected to Congress or the Senate, frankly, and this is probably as vulgar as I'm going to get on this phone call, has the balls to say this. But, you know, if I was elected to Congress, I would get up there on the vote, and I would just say, before we do this vote, I just want to point this out to everybody. There is legislation in here that would have helped that kid before he went and shot one of our members, before he killed a 9-year-old girl and a federal judge and all of that. This legislation could have stopped that, or may possibly stop that from happening in the future. And I want you to think about that when you cast your vote.
Yeah.
But no one's going to say it.
Is there anyone laying in the hospital the result of this attack who might benefit, it might turn out, from a transplant in Arizona that might happen to be on Medicaid? Because that's, you know, that, again, they, the right-wingers don't, they, it's not, I don't,
See, the right-wingers refuse to acknowledge that their rhetoric and their hate have real-world consequences. People have died and will continue to die in Arizona for want of transplants that are not novel, that are not scientifically unsound, that are not experimental. Kidney transplants, for instance, are de rigueur. To a certain extent, even hearts. Lungs. But they will die in Arizona because of a paltry, what, $4 million maybe? $1.2 million? Who knows? That the right-wing governor of Arizona has said, well, we just can't afford it. When people have shown her time and time again, even a GOP committeeman from Illinois has written to her saying, here, you can do this, you can do this, you can do this, but no. Because, see, and I've argued this in the past, the right-wing, Vince, has a tiger by the tail. It is one thing to say, I'm going to ride that tiger. But once you get on its back, all you can do is hang on to ears and tail and pray that it doesn't throw you and start eating you. And the right wing in this country constantly pursues power for power's sake. And they will do anything, anything, as Tucson proves, to get that power. But the problem with getting that power is that once you have it, you had better, by God, take note of the fact that the tiger you're riding has really sharp claws and teeth. And that's why Jan Brewer can't turn around and say, well, you know, we're going to fund the transplants, because enraged people would turn on her the way they turned on Gabby Giffords.
And just kind of bring this full circle, we're not even, I think it's important to note, when you're talking about people go after power for power's sake, we're not just talking about senators and presidents and, you know, I'm talking about Becksters. And
yeah, Beckerheads.
The Rush Limbaughs and, you know, all those people, the Savages and the Mark Levins and stuff. Those people have got to realize, and if they don't, they're stupider than I give them.
No, it's not that they're stupid. They realize it. They know everything that they're doing, Vince. They don't care.
I can't believe they're that stupid.
They're not stupid. They don't care. They don't care if, as the Bible says, the blood runs as high as a horse's knees. They don't care. As long as it serves their ends. The Republican Party, the teabaggers and that like, that ilk, are purely utilitarian Machiavellians. The end to them always justifies the means.
And the simple fact of the matter is whether this guy was a left-wing nut or a right-wing nut, it really doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is he was demonstrably, undeniably, a nut. And these people say the things, just a second, Kitty, these people say these things without regard for the fact, or maybe with total regard of the fact, with malice, I don't know. But they say these things, and they have to keep in mind that there are nuts out there, regardless of which wing they're on, that are going to take what they say and are going to act on it. And I don't mean get up and get out and vote. I mean they're going to get up and they're going to act and they're going to perform that Second Amendment solution. They're going to enact it. And either these people need to realize, one, that what they say has a tremendous, they're given an airway, Bob, that I wish to God we had. I wish to God you had. I wish you had the influence and the power to reach as many people that people like Beck and people like Limbaugh and people like Hannity do. But you don't.
You know, look at that, look at that sign that the teabaggers took to a Scott Brown rally. Remember Scott Brown, Massachusetts?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. It's a picture of the Capitol Dome with a picture of a pistol. And it's yellow. And there were lots of them. They were mass-produced. And they said, warning, if Brown can't stop it, talking about the health care bill, if, warning, if Brown can't stop it, a Browning can. Now, those not familiar with firearms might not realize that Browning is a well-known manufacturer of firearms.
Yep. Probably only behind Colt, I think.
And the fact that, you know, there are all kinds of things that have to be taken into account here. Like, for instance, it used to be illegal to have 33-round clips. If Loeffner had been working with the standard 12-round pistol, or even 7 or 6, look how many people couldn't have been hit. Because the thing is, and it is an extraordinary tale of heroism, Vince. It's an extraordinary tale of heroism that unarmed people, again, just like when the Unitarians in Knoxville took down the right-wing killer there, unarmed people, not the NRA model of, well, if anybody just had a gun, they could have stopped him. This is Arizona, where Jan Brewer had just signed legislation that allows you to carry a concealed weapon in Arizona without a permit. Unarmed people took this right-wing terrorist down. So, but you know what? If you try to pass legislation about 30-round clips, you know what the NRA will do? They don't have to do anything, really. I mean, they don't have to do anything overt. They just start passing out $10,000 checks all over Congress.
There you go.
You know, there's a phrase that I use in cases like this, and I've used it for years now. This is just another payment on America's installment plan in our deal with the devil over firearms. This is just an installment payment on the butcher's bill. And you know what? It happened in Tucson, and Tucson is sad and shocked and grieving. Just like Columbine was. Just like Blacksburg, Virginia was. Just like. And for so long, Vince, as we do not acknowledge that the right wing in this country has a murder problem, and that these things flow from them like rivers flow to the sea, there will be another Tucson. There will be another Blacksburg. There will be another Columbine. And there will be another and another and another and another. I don't want anybody in this audience thinking that somehow or another something's going to happen out of the Tucson terrorism that's going to keep another Tucson from happening, because they're going to happen again and again and again, and they're going to keep on happening because the for-profit media in this country will not do its job and will not point out that the right wing has a murder problem. And therefore becomes as complicit as Sarah Palin is, as Michelle Bachmann is, as Limbaugh and Hannity and Beck and Bortz and the rest of that filthy crowd are, becomes every bit as complicit because they will not acknowledge the source of the problem. And that is sad and sickening. Vince, thank you a bunch, brother. I appreciate it. We'll talk soon, I hope. All right.
Yep,
take care.
Absolutely.
Bye now.
Bye.
And that was Vince. Email coming in from Kate. She says, in regard to Vince's call, she says, I absolutely agree with the caller. This was the first thing I thought of when I started reading all the background on the web. In Arizona, the mental health service was cut back drastically a decade ago, cut back to almost nothing. I don't think his mental status justifies his actions, but the red flags went up a long time ago on this young man, but there was no help for him in Arizona. Ron in Raleigh says, hey, Bob, remember some time ago I wrote that this country has a two-tiered justice system? Even if Sarah Palin and the rest of her sad, sick ilk... Oh, I'm sorry. He said sad. I said sick. Ron's, and the rest of her sad ilk were to call for actual murder, our Justice Department would be tying itself in knots to try to find a way not to prosecute. To my knowledge, no Republican has come forward to condemn the filthy rhetoric of their propaganda wing. From Lamar Alexander to the man that ran against Gabrielle Giffords, none of these swine will take the tiniest bit of responsibility for the incitement of unbalanced but sane people.
Imagine, if you can, what would happen if someone busted a cap into one of Fred Phelps's followers when they protest at one of these funerals. Because you know Fred Phelps's people have said they're going to protest. Little Miss Green's funeral. Marty writing in says, the Republicans might have delayed the repeal vote for a week, but I'll suggest that it was done strategically. While I was watching Thunderball on the BBC America cable channel, there was a commercial featuring one Mike Huckabee describing what a terrible thing Obamacare was, how it was passed in the middle of the night over the vigorous objection of the people, with a phone number to call and urge Congress and the website repealitnow.org. I nearly called the number and told those people off, saying that because of them, the fuse that leads to incidents like the shooting of Congresswoman Giffords was lit. Somehow, I'm betting if I had made that call, I'd be visited by the FBI. Visited? You might even have to take a little trip with them, Marty. Kevin in Seoul writing, first off, says Kevin, I want to say to try to have a happy new year, and please extend my wish to your family and the rest of the Horn family. This weekend, my girlfriend and I will be flying to New York to visit my family for 3 weeks. Frankly, Bob, I'm scared to death. The thing is, I always knew this violent right-wing element always existed in America. I've learned, after living amongst them for 4 miserable years when I was married, how to avoid them by simply confining myself to the Northeast. South Florida, and the California Bay Area. The thing is, Bob, after living in South Korea, in spite of all its problems, I have grown used to the peace and civility that exists en masse here. I'm afraid I've grown soft, and frankly, I can never live full-time in the country that I happen to have a passport from anymore. Yes, I no longer call myself an American. I refer to myself as a New Yorker, because that's the only part of the United States I guess I somewhat understand. Unfortunately, New York is now being poisoned by the mid-American right wing. After all, we have a 3-term Burgermeister von Bloomberg, and fixed news is based there. As a person of conscience, I can no longer call myself an American because the country that issued my passport is more than halfway run by a global terrorist organization called the Republican Party. I've been able to achieve a peace here that I have not had since I was 9 years old. Coincidentally, I was 9 when Ronald Reagan became president. Even though I look forward to seeing my loved ones and re-exploring New York City, I really cannot say I'm looking forward to visiting the United States. Signed, from a friend with concerns, Kevin from Seoul. P.S. I'll keep you posted of my anxieties during my visit to the United States. I sympathize, Kevin. I sympathize. But have a good trip and keep us posted. And a happy new year to you. Isn't it amazing? It took just barely a week for 2011 to go right down the shitter. Hadn't thought of it in those terms. Let's go back to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
I will not be dropping the F-bomb this evening. It has been covered enough. My thoughts on this are a little bit different. I was discouraged the fact immediately after the news had been disclosed, the shooter, people were already perceiving his political ideologies and his viewpoint. And I think in a case like this, Bob, it has to be studied. And I think for coming from both sides, the way people rushed at it like a football game to be the first one out the gate to announce he's a Republican, he's a Democrat, I think it's a dangerous road we're going down, Bob. It's a dangerous, dangerous road. And I'll tell you something. Jared Loughner, people, got what he wanted because he wanted to be noticed. And the media is noticing him like crazy on every single detail. And he finally got to spout his crazy theories, and finally it's the shot that hurt him. He can finally teach his philosophy.
Try back, David, if you can get through. But, no, there was a rush.
And I think to the extent that there was one on the so-called left, it was driven by the fact that it was driven by a sense of we've been trying to tell you this was coming. It was driven by the right, on the right side of it, by the effort to try to distract from the actual circumstances. They know they're guilty. They know they caused this. But the fact is, as I noted, they don't care. They've wanted it. They've yearned for it. I got a photograph of some yahoo in a yellow t-shirt here that says, "Today I'm expressing my First Amendment, and so tomorrow I won't have to exercise my Second Amendment." Get it? The right wing knows what they are pushing people to. A long time ago, a friend of mine referred to your average Joe and Jane six-pack right winger as cannon fodder in the culture war. And it's on K Street, they know. On K Street, they don't care. In the halls of power, in Boner's office, good God, John Boner couldn't even bring himself to tell the birthers in his own caucus to knock it off. And he runs the entire House of Representatives. Sweet Jesus. So, let's see, a couple, we buffered up for a minute, but we're back. Maura writing in, equaled Nutter Matthew show when Chris needed to give examples of the violence on the left. He gave the following: Lee Harvey Oswald, the SDS of the late 60s, and Lee Harvey Oswald in 1963. That's how far back you have to go. Because, of course, well, what about the Black Panthers? What about William Ayers? What about the Weatherman? That was a generation ago. Tucson was Saturday. Knoxville was the Tides Foundation was a few months ago. Again, the right wing and the for-profit media will not do their job and acknowledge it. Little Christina Green's funeral by attending it with their ignorant signs, chantings, whatever. I hope that her grandfather gets up a good lather and treats like an umpire who had screwed up an obvious call in the World Series. Remember, Christina's grandpa, former Philadelphia Phillies manager, Dallas Green. We should be restreaming again. This is just an amazing, amazing parade of computer glitches and malfunctions this evening. Stunning. But we will continue onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, can you hear me?
I do.
The Republicans have a murder problem. I don't think I've ever heard six words strung together so poignantly, my friend.
Thank you, Reverbo. It gives me no joy.
No, and I was going to say, I mean, I have to start writing again because you are being in the dust with that. The problem is, it's unfortunately brilliant.
Well, I mean, don't they, Reverbo? And you know, let's put this in some perspective. Over the last 8 years, they haven't had a problem with murdering a million civilians in Iraq. Why are they going to have a? Why would they object to Sarah Palin putting a few crosshairs on a few politicians?
Oh, they don't. And even the callers, it's just so hard to come to grips with the idea that they don't want to, though. They want this to happen.
I'm convinced of it.
It's not a question of when are they going to take ownership of it or how come it seems like they're scrambling around to try to, you know, defuse it. They're encouraging this So, I mean, and I know for good people that's hard to understand. I have a friend who, who's of the, and it is a, you can do this if you go back far enough. Yeah, you can say, well, you know, both sides do it. Well, obviously Trotsky and Stalin did it. Obviously the Black Panthers did it. You know, this, that, and the other thing. But I'm telling you right now, the only people I am worried about is the second, I mean, is a huge political party, a gigantic, I mean, in my country right now, I don't really give a damn about what the Black Panthers said 45 years ago.
Nor do I, Reverbo, but now does it make a little bit more sense why it was that Radio Rwanda was spent an entire summer talking about a wholly imaginary new Black Panther Party?
Oh, sure. Today I was, or just a while ago, boy, you got callers, you got a popular show tonight. I just thought I'd let you know.
I think it's so popular we can barely get it out.
Damn. I'm, so it's 6 o'clock tonight, and I'm listening to, I haven't been able to, listen, to pick up too much internet lately for reasons that you are aware of. My interests have been elsewhere. But, so I'm listening to NPR. Hearing one more summary, real quick story, top of the hour story about this, the Tucson tragedy. And, their emphasis on their little blip was how talk radio was, you know, their instant response on talk radio, trying to, blame the liberals for this, or trying not to politicize it, and trying, you know, right away scrambling to, again, I don't understand what their problem is. Why don't they just say, yeah, we want this, we want to remake the world in our own deranged image. What's your problem? What, little violence, little violence bother you all? But anyway, I'm getting off the track, because it is difficult not to get absolutely warped about this.
Well, it's perplexing, because it's like stuff is coming at you from 360 degrees.
Yeah, it's insane. Anyway, so what I was saying is I'm listening to NPR, and they're talking, they don't modify this phrase, talk radio. They just say talk radio. And it occurred to me finally that I don't want to hear about any possibility that there's any liberal mass media left in the world, in this country. I mean, they don't even use conservative talk radio. They didn't say extremist talk radio. They just said talk radio.
I mean, is there anybody out there that thinks Tom Hartman has ever incited anyone to do anything more violent than read a book? Is there?
They didn't mention your show or Hartman's show or Stephanie Miller's show or anything like that.
No, but again, even by not saying conservative talk radio, Reverbo, again, they are engaging in the godforsaken false equivalences.
Oh, yeah, it's absolutely.
You know, people tune in like I do to Malloy. Because it's cathartic. Because Mike has such a genius ability to channel rage and frustration and fear and hurt and a sense of manifest out justice, manifest injustice, so that people listening, I mean, it's stuff that goes all the way back to the ancient Greeks and the people sitting in the benches, right? It's catharsis. It doesn't make you want to go out and do something to someone. It makes you want to sit down and go, whew, glad I got that out of my system. It's cleansing. You know, the stuff I do here, oh, sure, once in a while I'll say that the continued existence of, oh, I don't know, Tom DeLay is proof that there is no God, because if there was a God, there would just be a lightning bolts. But that is not, you know, it's like that idiot on Twitter. You wish death on me. Well, next I told him to eat shit and bark at the moon and asked him if I had wished him on the moon.
You touched on something else that I was thinking about, too. That no one wants, because obviously we don't want to advocate anything violent. And but at some point, you have to get the idea that somebody, somewhere, somebody might decide they've had enough of some unbalanced mind on the other side may respond to this.
Well, see, I'm scared to death that somebody on our side, Reverbo, might actually do something. And that's why I'm begging and pleading, don't. Because the right wing will slaughter us.
Well, this is kind of what they do, though. They keep egging it on and provoking it, and sooner or later there will be some response, and then of course that'll justify taking away more of our rights. I think you hit it right on the head. That's how the Patriot Act gets started. So they just keep fanning these flames and getting away with it until somebody does something, right? Until you keep beating up Mexicans until a Mexican shoots a few people, and then next thing you know, we got a wall between Mexico and the United States. It's the same thing with this kind of crap.
Yeah.
I mean, this is nothing about this is accidental. This is all delivered. It's all part of the plan. And anyway, back to the talk radio thing. I mean, I've just heard enough. We've got the de facto final analysis straight out of NPR at 6 o'clock about talk radio and the mass media. And I'm done with it. I mean, you don't even have to. Everybody knows what we're talking about. So.
Yeah. And the fact of the matter is, Reverbo, the stuff that comes out, sometimes I just have to like crawl under the bed from what I hear coming out from the so-called professional for-profit media. Tweety Matthews, just a matter of an hour or so ago, had a brain surgeon on, and he asked him, "So what should I do if I get shot in the head?" Either I lost the connection or I absolutely floored you with that one.
This is the latter. I don't know what to say. God.
You know.
This is madness. Anyway, I'm going to let you go. There's some other things I want to talk about, but tonight is not the time or the place. So I will call back at some point, and I will listen to the rest of the show because it's quite enlightening.
Well, thank you, Reverbo. I'm awful glad to hear from you, brother.
Good, and I don't know. If people can't, I'll leave you with this. Of course they're interviewing other Congress people and all sorts of folks. I mean, this is nonstop. And I still have really yet to hear enough people, elected officials, going after this whole false equivalency thing and going after the other side for starting it. It's just, I don't know, our side just has a real problem with those kind of tactics. But if you can't do it now, I mean, if you can't do it in the face of stuff of something like this, you just wonder when they can do it. Maybe today's too close.
Well, I watched I will let you go, but I watched the Sunday morning the press the meat, and I watched David Gregory say, both sides have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then he brought on that disgusting Trent Frank from Arizona, who sat there and said, "Oh, it's a terrible thing happened. She's a good friend." And Jan Brewer's out there, the governor of Arizona, giving press conference, calling her my dear friend. Well, she endorsed Gabby Giffords' opponent. And Gabby Giffords' opponent put out a notice saying, "Let's remove Gabrielle Giffords from office. Come and shoot an M16 with me."
Well, yeah, what's so confusing about that?
Yeah, in Wingnut World, I guess there is no confusion. And they had on a freshman teabagger from Idaho, some guy named Labrador. And he said, "Well, we can't rush to conclusions. Teabaggers are good Americans, too. And we don't wish anybody any harm. And I think it's just wholly improper
to take political speech and try to silence us with it. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Well, they are gutless. I can't, for being just incredibly obvious, they are gutless. I guess that they get that worked out somehow.
What a piece of work.
All right.
Reverbo, take care.
I don't know. Well, it's almost, need we say make it personal?
You know, I invoked your name Friday evening, I think it was, begging people to make it personal. Because, as it turned out, all too sadly true, the other side already has.
Talk to you later.
Later, Reverbo.
All right.
Bye. That's our op-ed columnist from A Cavalcade of Crazy, Reverbo, head on RadioNetwork.com. And by the way, we have had some issues tonight between my connection here as well as some server issues. And I'm informed that Ben and John will continue to work diligently to correct the server. And me, I'm going to be on the phone some more with our friends at CityNet. By the way, Tom DeLay, I mentioned Tom DeLay. Tom DeLay got sentenced today. Three years. Thank God it wasn't a liberal. He would have been in for, because that thing carried a, that conviction carried a potential 99-year probation, or 99-year sentence. Tom DeLay instead got 3 years in jail and 10 on probation. I don't know what kind of minimum security affair they have at in Texas, but I'm sure Tom DeLay will go to it. Now let's see if we can do something here. John Fox, are you there?
I believe I am, Bob. Do you hear me?
You are, but you are right low.
Okay, let's see if we can fix that up a bit. Is that improved?
Yeah, that's
for you. Is that getting better for you?
You're a little hot, but I think we've got enough to work with.
All right. Wow, man, you know, in some ways, surprised this something like this hadn't happened sooner. But there's a few things that I kind of just want to touch on. One was mentioned a few minutes ago about the state of mental health care in this country. And the fact that regardless of whatever this guy's motives are, and there was a little an interesting piece at The Atlantic about political assassins and
things not always, yeah, I saw that, things not always meshing up.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't necessarily match up with the true anger of what's going on, you know, in politics at the time. So there is that. Now, what I find really interesting, you know, when this first happened, the first thing I did was, you know, go to my Facebook page and say, you know, can we call it terrorism yet?
Nope, no brown people.
Yeah, but see, now here's the interesting thing, Bob. This is one of those ones where I just, you know, it makes me go, holy crap. Opposite world has fully taken hold. It's you know, what used to be something funny that we kind of said to describe the absurdity of politics and of American culture, unfortunately, in general, is this complete belief in what is the opposite of the truth, usually, and facts are just completely not important, and they can be made up or changed, you know, as you want to go. But here, the thing that really freaks me out, that while this, as this is just before this all happened, we can't call that terrorism, that act terrorism. However, all of the followers of WikiLeaks are having their information subpoenaed.
I saw that. That is absolutely disgusting.
Okay, because you're following something that's out there, you're under suspicion of being a terrorist. But yet we have some guy, regardless of whatever his motives are, But now, but I have some views of, I don't care if this guy had, you know, Communist Manifesto or anything else. The culture and the atmosphere and the language that has been deemed, you know, within the bounds of civility in the United States has completely fallen apart.
Yeah, it goes back to something David in Tennessee said a long time ago, that once upon a time, I mean, this speech and this kind of conduct has always been around. You know, in the mid-60s, and I heard Representative Clyburn talking about the atmosphere in which he came up in South Carolina during the Civil Rights Movement and all that surrounded that. And you always had birchers and Klansmen and right-wingers and violent, virulent, death-talking monsters. But in 1965, if you wanted to get, and this is the part that David had noted, in 1965, if you wanted to get that stuff around, you had to have a mimeograph machine, you had to quietly pass them out amongst people that you already knew were of like mind. And over the course of a generation, John, you have right-wing talk radio comes in, and it starts telling Americans that it's okay to talk that way again, and then, boom, here comes the Internet. And it just blossoms like one of those flowers that one of those orchids that blossom every 20 years and smells like a corpse.
Well, this again, where is where, you know, in the past, you know, again, opposite world or two standards, you know, a double standard. There's a double standard for, you know, there's one standard for, you know, the conservative reality, and then there's a different set of rules for those of us that from anywhere that try to inject some reality into that opposite world. And where I'm finding it to be really freaky is where I'm seeing these not so subtle, just complete double standard statements that are coming out. Like I think it's the guy of Tea Party Nation. As soon as this thing came down, as soon as this thing happened, he actually wrote, they're going to try and blame it on us, so we have to go call him a leftist and a liberal. We have to make this guy a leftist or a liberal. Now, here's where it really pisses me off, is that we're completely jumping the gun on all of this, because I've gone and watched this guy's videos. I mean, some really, really, really out there stuff, and nothing has come out from the police or anything to say this isn't his. They pretty much, during the press conference on the day, said that they were aware of it and had no reason to believe that it wasn't his. And you go and read what he's got. This seems to be a guy that was a bit of a loser, a bit of a really lost soul. And the problem with this kind of rhetoric is it doesn't matter who's doing it. Someone who's lost and angry is going to be like a magnet to whoever's going out there and giving verbal justification for a violent act. So I don't care if this guy, they find paperwork on this guy that says that, you know, he's some mad, absolutely leftist, you know, just... And in the whole discussion of this, they're saying, you know, he read Mein Kampf, so he's a socialist. You know what? The only thing socialist about Hitler was the name of that party.
Bingo. It was fascism. And see, this is a lie. Again, here's another little line that the for-profit media has not drawn, John, and that is there are two classic fascist tomes on that list. One of them is Mein Kampf, and we know who wrote that. You know what the other one is?
Oh, there's one of the Ayn Rand books.
We the Living by Ayn Rand.
Now, but Bob, to be fair, you look at that reading list, and any person of college age who had some curiosity about the history of political anything.
Well, yeah, minus the Ayn Rand, it looks like a freshman comp reading list.
Yeah, but even that, man, look, I read Atlas shat himself. right? Because to know that it was crap, I had to read it to show to myself that it was crap. So, you know, the idea of even if you are politically aligned to one side, you would have to, if you really have the courage of your convictions and think that your ideals can stand up to challenge, will read about the other side as well. So, like, I don't see how a little reading list like this can be used for either side of the argument, right? Everyone's trying to make a direct connection. But that, I think, is not the argument we need to make. I do think Sarah Palin and the like should actually be brought up on charges of incitement. Because of
actually,
that,
I prefer accessory before the fact.
That's the term I was trying to think of. Gail and I were talking about this yesterday, and that was the terminology that I couldn't come up with. Absolutely. And you know, all these people, and again, the double standards and that false equivalence bullshit, that means really, your Twitter thread yesterday, Bob, was genius. Both sides don't.
No, I didn't invent that, but it sure did come easy.
Okay. I saw your stuff on it, you know, and I just was thinking, you know, this really, again, we have to push this. You go to the, you know, if Brown can't, a Browning will. Don't whatever, reload. Bang, bang, bang. I mean, you can just, it's just a litany. It's just a litany.
I mean, I like to think, John, that I'm intellectually candid enough that if my side was doing this, I'd acknowledge it. Because I refuse to ever have a dog in one of those hunts. This will be the third time I've mentioned it tonight. I should mention it 100. I am absolutely and utterly and undeniably committed to the principles of nonviolence espoused by Dr. King, by Gandhi, and Jesus Christ. Okay? If our side was doing this, I would call out anyone on our side that did it for the little misanthropic monsters that they would have to be to do it.
Okay, mate.
But we don't.
I know. And, okay, here's something that's really creeping me out. God forbid the guy's listening. Someone who lives not far from me, who, pretty much, a tea party. And it was Saturday morning here, I guess, when we woke up to the shooting. I guess, right? Yeah. Sorry, it was Sunday morning. And I see the guy wearing a shirt I've never seen him wear before. On this day. World peace through superior firepower. And I can't even bring myself to breach the subject. Because I really do think we have a small population who is so hell-bent in undoing everything that was ever good about the United States of America. And our absolute, absolute cretin little weasels allowing themselves to be manipulated by the Koch brothers and others because it allows them to somehow hold on to this little last bastion of their racism, their hate, their superiority or self-subscribed superiority, you know, American, you know,
exceptionalism.
All that shit. All that crap. And I think these people will smile and deny all the way as they try and knock as many off as they can. I actually think, and until I see some noise the other way, Jan Brewer, the rest of these little shits, are snickering their little asses off, and I can only imagine what it must have been like for, you know, for all the problems that, all the issues we have with Barack Obama. Imagine having to make that call to that woman about organizing the investigation, about offering the assistance.
No, well, not, no. I thought I went. I went down the John. I went down the same road, and I just sat with my little head in my hands, thinking, "Dear Jesus, can you imagine what would happen if that woman was president of the United States? If the president of the United States put out a map with crosshairs on Congress members, there would be death squads, John. We are an eyelash from a country being wandered by death squads.
Shit, man.
We are a country being wandered by death squads. I haven't gotten to it yet, and I really, really should. But there is a list. Where is it? Let me find it. I don't have time. I don't have time remaining in the program to read this. Okay, but there is a. If you just search, whatever browser you use, search Coalition to Stop Gun Violence Insurrectionism Timeline. Coalition to Stop Gun Violence Insurrectionism Timeline. And you read this and you become aware that, you know, death squads, it's not just for El Salvador anymore. The fact that they are organized so loosely that the right wing can maintain that hateful old phrase, plausible deniability, does not make them any less death squads. Because they are all, as you noted, and I think there's a lot to recommend what you're saying. It is the question of who's doing the inciting.
Absolutely.
Go back and watch the Manchurian Candidate. What was the trigger word? You know, whatever the trigger word is, it doesn't matter who says it. It's still the trigger word.
Right.
And I use that word trigger advisedly. And so what we have here is a situation in which the United States is beginning to be beset, John, by sleeper cell death squads. And you don't know where they're going to pop up, or how they're going to pop up, or who they're going to pop up and kill. You're not safe in Tucson. You're not safe in Blacksburg, Virginia. You're not safe in Knoxville, Tennessee. You're not safe anywhere in this country, because one of these could be activated by God knows what coming out of the right wing.
And you know, Bob, one of the things that struck me, you know, as the bio of Miss Giffords was, you know, kind of, you know, look, before this weekend, a small piece of the national population would have actually been intimately, you know, familiar with her bio. And I'm watching this thing of, you know, this woman who holds these, you know, little cabinet sessions with her constituents, and, you know, seems to be incredibly accessible. Her husband and her brother are both astronauts, and isn't it always going to be, regardless of what drives the nutter, even if there are bad people in the system, it's always the good ones and the accessible ones that are always going to be the ones to be taken out, because the really evil ones don't give you the chance.
And you know what? I think Grant's observations about disenfranchisement are very well taken, because what you're going to see now is members of Congress becoming absolutely unapproachable. They will be surrounded by some sort of security, and you won't be able to get to them with your concerns, no matter how reasonable or rational you are. And
yeah,
that is another level of disenfranchisement.
And, you know, of course, you have to go down all kinds of alternate roads, you know, like, because I see this woman, and I just see someone that even if I was from the other side of the aisle, obviously seemed to be a decent and upstanding person and someone that you could go talk to. So there was obviously, and I find the irony of what the part of the Constitution reading that she got to do, the whole bit about redress of grievances.
Yeah, way too much irony.
Okay, and so, and it's, the nut job's never going to get one of the bad ones.
No. You know, I'm reminded.
Because if they were going to, before you go on, Bob, if you put yourself in the mind of some person who's thought, you know, got to take out one of these, you know, Democrats, this woman would not have been in your top five.
No.
In your top five would be, I don't know, first name.
Let's not help.
Okay, but you know what I'm saying.
I know exactly what you. That's what. She's a blue dog. She's pro gun. She's pro military. Her offense was having voted for the Affordable Care Act, and that was what prompted Sarah Palin to put a crosshair on her.
And I haven't heard anyone come back to counter this in any substantive way, or even try to. That while SB 1070 was all happening, she and one of her Republican, you know, equals had actually put up a bill to get some increased funding for types of enforcement that actually could have made a difference with what real problems there are, instead of working in this wacko land that the border is some sort of frickin' war zone, which it's not.
No.
Okay.
It's, you're right,
just not. The data shows completely the opposite, and has for decades. So, you know, again, this is another one of these opposite world memes. And I'm wondering if the nation has actually gone so far down the rabbit hole of disinformation that I don't know how to go about trying to have a substantive conversation with certain aspects of the population because they have no basis in reality. So how the hell do you talk to these people? How do you stop this from just snowballing and having the two different messages go out and have the fact that, as you know, things like on Fox News, as soon as Sarah Palin's name was mentioned at the vigil, boom, cut away. We'll tell you all about
that. No, that was just, that was
easy to hear later.
That was all you needed to know. Hey, John, they're stacked up. I gotta get to a few more, brother.
All right, buddy. Sorry, I didn't mean to hijack, but it's...
Oh, you didn't. If I could go 6 hours tonight, I would, but I want to hear Malloy.
All right, man. You take care.
Later. Bye now.
Bye.
Chief engineer, chief webmaster, musician, and as you can tell, more than host in his own right, John Fox, calling from Australia. Teabaggers are everywhere. Did you notice? Going right back to the phones, quick note in from Brandon in Brooklyn. Never worry that we liberals would do anything like what happened in Tucson, not even in retaliation to the Tucson tragedy. We liberals are just too damn, well, liberal to be like some gun-loving right-winger wanting to do harm to those who disagree with us. And as far as the so-called liberal media are concerned, those liberals that I do listen to, we don't incite violence, we inspire thought. We invite ideas. We're for solutions, not destruction. We don't stoke the fires of fear and hate and rage. They do. We didn't threaten to kill Michael Moore. They did. We didn't put crosshairs on GOP congressional districts. They did. We didn't call their presidential candidate a socialist, communist, Marxist, Nazi. They did. We didn't say don't retreat, reload. They did. I could go on and on and on. The list of violent talk is as long as my arm and your arm too, Bob. And you are absolutely correct about our friend Mike Malloy. His style is cathartic. It's a place to hear someone vent and get it out of their system, and it's refreshing to hear someone speak like that. It ain't us. It's them. And it's high time the media start acknowledging what Sheriff Dupnik said Saturday. Thank you. Thank you very much for that, Brandon. And I mentioned, you know, I mentioned Mike because there was a little clip out there of Mike talking about the Glenn Beck, and the right wing jumped on it. Mike Malloy's calling for the death of Glenn Beck. No, not even in the remotest sense. But they have to do that kind of thing.
Oh, you wish death on me by telling me to eat shit and die.
That's why I changed it to eat shit and bark at the moon. Because that way...
You wish barking at the moon on me.
Morons. And I mean, look, consider a recent manifestation of this. That newly elected West freak in Florida. He actually said, and this is pretty damn near a quote, I think, we want them, talking about the Democrats and his opponent, we want them too scared to come out of their house. He said that about his opponent in a political race. There's no difference between that and the Knight Riders of the Old South. They want us too scared to resist. They might shoot us. As I watched it all unfold on Saturday, I was struck by this sick feeling. Remembering all of the political events that I've taken our children to. There was an event where Robert Byrd and Ted Kennedy were together in 2004, right here in my county. And I took my children, no older than Christina Green was Saturday. It could happen there. With right-wing death squads spontaneously popping up all over the United States, it could happen anywhere. But staying home is no solution. We cannot be too afraid to resist. By resist, I don't mean shoot back. I mean stand up. We have a good friend in North Dakota who calls in once in a while, and out of his great sense of anguish, he will just say, stand! And there is so much truth in that simple word. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob, you got me again.
Oh, sorry. Okay, Megan. Back on hold. That was Megan. Megan's already played. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob.
Sandra.
Hey, listen, so I need to know why someone has need a magazine that shoots off 33 rounds without reloading. I'm sorry. I realize there's all sorts of issues involved here, but I'm sort of stunned that, you know, this sort of weaponry is just available for domestic consumption. It's like this dude was able to fire off that many rounds. No one could approach him because he didn't have to reload. So 20 people got shot up. I mean, hello, is there a problem with this? Just a tiny problem?
Oh, and, well, you know.
I can't even believe that you can just walk into some store down there and roll out with that shit.
No, well, but it kind of gets worse, Sandra, because if you just go and buy yourself a nice garden variety Glock, you can get you a 9mm Glock that'll hold 20 rounds.
Okay, well, no, but I mean that, you know, and it's sort of, you know, I suppose it's, you know, you can't talk about any kind of gun control anymore. At any rate, the thing that I see here is just the whole notion that it's like, hello, political violence. Here we are. And I don't care about the man's ideology. Who was shot? A Democrat. A Blue Dog or not, it wasn't a Republican who got shot.
That's so true.
And that's the thing. I don't, you know, I can give a hell about his ideology. I'm just looking at the victim. And this was a moderate, too. Also, I hear that Obama's planning on going down to Arizona. Watch your ass.
No kidding.
You know, because the thing is that, I mean, there's really not much room when you start taking out elected officials. You know, there's no sort of gray area and all that.
Oh, wait, are they really? They're going to play them? They're going to play tonight?
The show must go on. I don't know if it's to the radio or whether they're doing the pre-show.
Jesus.
Anyway, so it's just kind of...
You stymied me, Sandra. That's kind of breathtaking.
Well, I'm just saying, unless they just canceled it, I was listening to the radio earlier today, and they were doing, a few hours from now. And
so the right wing can't hold their vote on repealing the Affordable Care Act, but we can have kickoff in... Oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, I could be wrong, but as far as I know, that's still happening. And, it's just right there in Arizona. And don't tell me that Arizona is just a hotbed of hatred. And... Another thing I find really interesting is that sheriff who just spoke the truth, he getting a lot of pushback. Why is he getting so much pushback, Bob?
Because he spoke the truth?
How many people are upset? You see what I'm saying? Obviously, they got problems. If you can't embrace what that man said and you're feeling guilty about it and you got to step up and argue about it, you know that there's a problem with your party, Tea Party, GOP, right wing, hood and news problem, whatever you want to call it, that's what's going on some levels. And I know the dude was crazy, but it's not in a vacuum.
I know. But I think the walk, the come away on this is what you just said. I mean, wow. It was a Democrat who got shot. It wasn't a Republican. It wasn't Trent Frank. It wasn't Jan Brewer. They have, for so long as they continue to toe the line on things like health care, they have nothing to worry about.
Well, and it's just kind of, and the whole sort of, see, the problem, the media is just so culpable in this because they cannot criticize Republicans. So we're left with this sort of horrific equivalency that it's just ringing so hollow. It's like Chris Massey was talking about the Unabomber. Oh, he has followers out there. I mean, you hear what I'm saying?
Really? We got to go to the Unabomber now?
Yeah, I'm like, anything. Well, there's people out there who followed him.
Don't forget the guy who held the Discovery Channel hostage.
And let's go to, I escaped my mind. Why don't we go as far back as Fool Who Shot Up Whoever before the Civil War. What was his name?
Oh, John Brown?
Yes. Why don't we go back to him? Because for Chris Matthews to bring up Ted Kaczynski, I was just like, oh, wow. This is way, way out of hand. Don't drag us in. I'm sorry.
Well, and see, there's a thing at work here. And I had a little discussion over the weekend about this as well, because, the question was put, well, there has been left-wing violence, and, of course, it was the SDS and the Black Panthers and yada, yada, yada. And I said, but they don't exist anymore. However, the people who were doing right-wing violence in the South in the 60s, the Klan, the John Birchers, those, they have all been co-opted and morphed and rolled into the Tea Party. They never stopped existing. The SDS, they stopped existing. The Weathermen, they stopped existing. The Symbionese Liberation Army, they stopped existing, Sandra. They don't exist. The Black Panther's gone.
Listen, I know this is like really wrong to say, but I'm sorry, until I see some industrialist or high flyer out there taken out, I'm not, I don't want to hear about it. Sorry. Because that's my equivalent, if you really must go there, or I have to go there, because this woman was an elected official, which is a chilling effect in the big scheme of things. That's how you chill democracy, killing political leaders. I mean, it's pretty textbook. So I don't need to hear nothing. I mean, it's hard for me to hear anything else. When I look at that and I think, wow, okay. Taking out congresspeople. Good Lord.
And therein lies the road to madness.
And it's just, the whole question of, I don't know, New York Times with their soft, we need...
Oh, Matt Bai. Oh.
And it's just like, what are you talking about? And, you know, who's the one that's promoting this political violence? I don't, you know, I certainly isn't Michael Moore or whoever other sort of left-type character you can pop up with.
I can't think of a single example of someone on the so-called imaginary left talking about using guns on somebody, referencing the Second Amendment, or putting crosshairs, or
and it's just sort of, and also, you know, I'm sorry to tie this in, but, you know, the elites in this country, you know, they might want to thumb through a little bit of French history up in here, because no one can escape this madness, all right? I'm sorry.
No, and nowhere is safe.
I'm not feeling, you know, touchy-feely about this. I find the whole thing well disturbing, and I could do without them trying to make this kid into some liberal. It's like, oh, my God, are you kidding me with that? You know, oh, he's a pot smoker. You know, didn't someone who called in said if he smoked pot, he probably wouldn't have done this shit?
Yeah.
I was like, damn. And in the meanwhile, and I'll let you go because I know other people want to talk, but this a nine-year-old baby, please, Jesus, help me. I was like, are you kidding me? A little nine-year-old. You see what I mean? I'm sick. I'm sick with that. And I'm sick that this poor woman got a bullet in her damn head. It's hideous. That child. I was just like, oh, my God. You know,
that baby.
Yeah, I'm like nine, and she's out there, you know, trying to be active. And what? You know,
But again, that's textbook of what you just described with the chilling effect.
No, it's chilling, all right. It's crazy.
Yeah, I remember back, and maybe I don't mean to come across callous, Sandra. I really don't. But I guess maybe we here have seen a little bit of this stuff in its infancy. Because everything the teabaggers have done are all tactics that the fiends of coal have been doing for years.
Mm.
Okay, the anniversary of Martin Luther King's assassination, and we just nobody was thinking about that, but we just happened to be up on Dolly Mountain having a blessing of the mountain. We had priests with us, Sandra. We were literally blessing a mountain that was being blown up and calling for the protection of the invisible, everybody's invisible friend. And the priest, in the middle of prayer, had a coal thug run down and start screaming in his face about, my God, don't mind what I'm a-doing. Why are you a-praying again me? And they surrounded us, Sandra. They surrounded a bunch of septuagenarian and sexagenarian activists that just happened to have in the middle of it a 10-year-old, an 11-year-old, and a 12-year-old. And we were scared because they were screaming and they were pumping their fists and they were revving the engines of their four-wheelers. And they were ready to kill. And just a couple of years ago, or a little more than a year ago, another one of these Massey wives, again at a peaceful protest, wearing a bunch of cheap junk jewelry from Walmart, came up with both of her fists wrapped together, you know, entwined with her hands entwined together, and kidney punched my wife in the back. That was the same day that one of them came across and hit Judy Bonds in the head, who was probably already suffering the beginnings of brain cancer.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. It's like this sort of rhetoric that you hear from these right-wing elites. You know, this shit is has real meaning for people on the ground, people like us. You know, it's straight-up intimidation. Or full-scale attack, like you just described. That stuff, you know, I don't know. I just am sort of, I guess I'm a bit just pissed off at the still horse trading that's going on in the media. It's like, wow, you got dead people and they're still measuring upcoming elections and legislation. You know what I'm saying?
I know. I know.
I'm like, what? Where am I? You know, and this child. You know what I'm saying? The fuck?
I know.
Anyway, listen, I'll let you go. I'm just, you know, oh, God. Well, anyway, I appreciate the show today, and I know you've been having some connection issues. Damn.
Oh, well, I'm trying not to let my paranoia run wild, Sandra.
I know it's too much. Anyway, listen, I'll check in. At least I'll listen tomorrow. So have a good evening.
All right, you take care, Sandra. Bye now. And I really am. I'm going to try to get through every phone call. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi there.
Hey, Fancy.
It's personal.
Yeah.
My daughter graduated high school in the same class with Gabby. My son's a friend of her sister's. This is basically a really small town. We're shocky. We're...
not okay.
We're distinctly not okay. I live about 5 blocks, or about 10 blocks from her office. And, you know, been driving by regularly, and there's flowers, there's candles, there's people. The respect is pretty awesome. I just want to mention something that hit me. You know, of course, you know, I'm my favorite reality is always the irony here. But an amazing act of heroism that went down on Saturday is a new intern to her office, 20-year-old young man who's a junior at the U. Was a certified nurse's aide, so he had first aid training. And he went out there and just he got her upright so that she wasn't aspirating on her own blood. He put pressure to the wound. He really did. He may have just you know, saved her till the actual paramedics and the emergency people could get there. And this young man's name is Daniel Hernandez. And my first thought when I heard that is, oh, Hernandez.
Yeah, I reckon they'll want to see his papers.
Yeah. If 1070 were, the police would have been required to check his papers. I've only lived in Arizona 30 years, so I'm...
No, you're still not from around there.
Well, no. Out here, I'm a born-again native because we just don't have that many. You know, everybody's new here. We're just 100 years of state. But when I encounter people who are Hispanic names, I realize the probability of their relatives having been here a lot longer than mine.
Yeah, oh, 10, 15, 20,000 years or so?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, don't give me this is our country.
Well, they're going to take it back, Fancy. They're going to take it back.
You know, it's just ridiculous.
But the thing is, we have to remember that taking our country back, again, is more of, it's another manifestation of their eliminationism. Because to take it back means that certain people can't have no country.
Well, no. If white Europeans come, it's ours. I'm suddenly thinking of an old Gordo cartoon. You remember Gordo?
Yes.
No, wait. It wasn't Gordo. It was Kathy, and someone said to the woman, "You've translated cat language," and she said, "Yes, I have. I can understand cats." And he said, "Well, you know, this is nice." She said, "Well, it's not really very interesting. They only say one thing: everything here is mine." You've had cats, you know.
Oh yes. In fact, we have a new one. We've been recently adopted.
That's how we get, well. Yeah, I still remember Isis in the office there, but this everything here is mine is pretty much the European white mantra. I'm here now. It's all mine.
Yeah, or a more modern equivalent. All your missiles are belong to us. Yes, people will get that. Well, Fancy, keep us posted on how things go out there. I hope folks are supportive of the sheriff. He's saying important things, and he is being...
I did vote for Joe Arpaio. I mean, I did vote for Clarence Dubnyk. I just got to say, he's no Joe Arpaio. Come on.
And for that reason, he is being absolutely vilified.
We're shocky. We need healing. We need quiet time. We need, I was gratified. Red Cross immediately said, get that hypo out here, and people immediately responded. Businesses were opening up and saying, we'll take Red Cross here. This town has always been beautifully responsive. I talked about the time they busted a puppy mill, and I think there were 300 tiny chihuahuas in the town. One of the TV stations said, okay, we'll do a telethon. We need cages. We need medicine. We need food. We need this. We need that. And the line up to the shelter was awesome. This is this is a very good town. But it's so personal. And when Reverbo talks about make it personal, honey, right now, Tucson, it's very, very, very personal. And I'm gonna go, but love to everybody and healing to all. I think that's probably, we have an old family saying, when the kids were growing up, and we kind of stop and assess where we were, and we go, oh, this is a bad situation. And the next line was, let's not make it worse.
Hear, hear. First rule of holes, when you're in one.
Yes, stop digging.
Stop digging. Fancy, thank you. Thank you for sharing, and do please keep us updated.
Bye-bye now.
Bye now. Fancy Free calling from Arizona. Onward. Maybe. Nope. Well, that works out rather conveniently, I suppose, unless one of you wants to call in just to round things out a bit. I hope that tonight has had, despite the fits and starts of the program, I hope it has had some value to you. Not something that we can assign a number to. I had a request over the weekend for me to just come into the studio and open up the mic and do a special weekend show, sort of like what Keith Olbermann did. But he's better than I am. And I couldn't. I couldn't even respond to the request. Because it felt too raw. And I have spent considerable time since Saturday thinking about what this show needed to be. And what it needed to be more than anything else is the absolute rarefied, purified idea of conversation radio. Because we are not the sorts of people who are satisfied and mollified by standing in a crowd and waving a Gadsden flag and talking about that Kenyan fascist Lamunist Muslim in the White House and how we're going to take our country back. You know, that's another thing our side doesn't do. We don't talk about taking our country back. Because we recognize that it is all of our country. We talk from time to time in harsh and mocking, primarily mocking language about the right wing. Because, frankly, they deserve it. Some people say, and I heard it today, I just think if we were a little more respectful of each other, that maybe things might calm down. And I realize how dangerous it is to get into a cause and effect thing, sort of like what Sandra was talking about with, well, let's go talk about John Brown, shall we? And then let's talk about Andrew Jackson and what he did to the Indians. Oh, but then we got to talk about the massacre at Fort McGee or whatever it was in Alabama that precipitated the massacre at Horseshoe Bend. And pretty soon you're into something that is absolutely intractable and impossible to resolve. We can't do that. But by the same token, I have tried to be a careful observer of culture and trends. And over the course of the time in which I've been paying serious attention, which literally goes back to my childhood, I have never once seen unreasonable people become reasonable because the reasonable ones shut up. I just never have. And so I can't get on board with this idea that, well, you know, if the left, and we all know what I think of that phrase, if the left would just stop needling, because it's the same thing as saying, you know, if that battered woman would just stop talking, her husband would quit needing to hit her so often. In a dysfunctional, domestically violent relationship, there are not two sides. And there is not an argument to be made in favor of the guy beating the hell out of his wife. And that's where we find ourselves. The battered wife only starts getting better when she refuses to be a party to the violence any longer, even as a victim. That doesn't mean that the answer is to shoot the batterer. It means that the answer is to get away from the toxic relationship and take all appropriate means toward ending the violence. Means being appropriate, defined as legal and peaceful. So I'm not going to stop mocking and making fun of idiots. But I do want you to call me on something. If you catch me describing something as a fight, a war, a battle, if I describe something as a target, you email me, you call me right away and say, Bob, you did it. Because I'm going to continue to clean my language, to clean all eliminationist rhetoric out of my language. And I hope you will do the same. Because we have got to create such a broad gulf of difference between how we behave, excuse me, and their eliminationist rhetoric, that the for-profit media can no longer say, both sides do it. It is no longer acceptable. Because I don't want to wind up in the same place as the Balkans are, where you ask a Bosnian or a Croat or a Serb where their problem started, and they'll tell you, well, you know, the Pope went bad back in 1200. Oh, no, it was the Muslims in 1100. Because it's mighty hard to make that dog let go. We have a chance to fix this now and stop it before it spreads any further. And since I'm not a praying man, I only hope that we will somehow manage to do so. One last call before the night's out. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Hey, Mr. Bob, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
I'm a long-time listener. It's the first time I've actually spoken to your voice and had to talk back.
Well, bless your heart. Care to share a first name?
My name is Corey.
Oh, Corey, what a pleasure.
I'm calling from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Okay.
And I have the pleasure of being able to be at home and listening to all kinds of podcast media, so forth and so forth, and voices. And I have to say, I did not know about the story until earlier today, which gave me kind of a advantage that I said, let me see how it is revealed. And I stopped watching television about 2 months ago, and it's shocking when you go back to it for any sort of use. I have to say, what you said about nonviolence, out of all the voices I heard today, you're the only one that said nonviolence.
Well, Corey, I thank you for noting it, but I wish to God that wasn't the case.
Well, unfortunately put the peaceful people in the ground, but we can pick it up and carry it through. I think we hit the tipping point today, most definitely. And thank you for your show and your callers, your insight, your rhetoric, and your directness. All my respect to you and all y'all in Appalachia.
Thank you, Corey. Thank you very kindly. I hope you won't be a stranger. Call in anytime.
I will. Take care.
You too. Bye now.
Bye.
All right. And okay, one more before we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Welcome to the program.
Okie dokie. Well, sometimes that happens. It is time to get out of here. I don't see Brett in the chat room, so I assume that Rick Smith will not be live tonight. Thank you all for your time this evening. Wow, funny how that works. All right, we'll take this after all. With Rick not going to air, I think we've got a couple of minutes before Malloy starts. Stand by. All right, let's try this again. Okay, well. Okay, so we'll just call it quits with this. I'm sure many of you are wanting to go over and see what Malloy has to say. I do as well. We will, if you wish. It will be hard to get away from this issue for a while. Continue to discuss this. If you didn't get a chance to speak your piece this evening, you will tomorrow night. Thank you for your patience through our technical difficulties. Believe me, it is not something that we want, but it is something that Ben and John are going to work furiously to resolve. I'll get the recorded portions of this program over to Ben for archiving purposes as soon as I possibly can. Thank you all very much again for all of your time, your contributions. I appreciate we all at the Horn appreciate your ongoing willingness to make sure that this continues. And I think tonight is a pretty good argument for why it should. So if you want to hit the PayPal button, it would be much appreciated. And so many thanks to those of you who did over the weekend. We actually met the first week's fundraising goal, which was a beautiful sign going forward into the new year, such as it is. Thank you. Thank you to our chat room moderator, Lottie, to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan, to our blogger, Texas Betsy, to our op-ed columnist, Reverbo, you heard from him this evening, Cavalcade of Crazy, headonradionetwork.com. Thank you to my head writer, David in Tennessee. Our Southeast correspondent is Matt Osborne at osborneinc.com. If you go over to Crooks and Liars, he has a brilliant essay analyzing what this means for liberals and progressives going forward and how to respond to the massive hatred that flows like a mighty sewer out of the right wing. And thanks again to John Fox and Ben Birch. The work that they did this evening is why the show continued. And I appreciate that kind of work on the fly more than they know and more than you know. Of course, thanks always go out to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and coalriverwind.org. What I have learned about nonviolence and what I have learned about remaining firm and standing up bravely as possible in the face of vicious right-wing attacks, I have learned by observing the dedication and courage of Coal River Mountain Watch. There is no organization like it on the planet, no how, no where. CRMW.net and coalriverwind.org. And always, 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 Gina, Judy, it's all for you.
Cussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. It's a minute and a half past the hour. It is Monday. It is the 10th day of January, 2011. And ordinarily, we would be getting started on Moran Monday right now. You know, that day of the week that is dedicated to right-wing asshattery, right-wing ignorance, right-wing poison, right-wing hate, all things wicked and right-wing. And Lord knows there's more than enough any given Monday for two or three shows. But in light of what happened over the weekend, I don't think that that is appropriate. Instead, I think I want to go to your thoughts and perhaps share some of my own. I anticipate this will be a difficult and, in fact, quite possibly perplexing evening because, you see, I'm a liberal. And as a liberal, I am not prone to accept pat answers. I am not prone to tolerate mendacity and obfuscation. But there are a lot of things that need to be said about this that need to be said from various and sundry points of view and perspectives. There's the question of language, first and foremost. If you are a long-time listener to this program, you may recall that on occasion, Well, on a number of occasions, we have talked about right-wing eliminationism. And we have pointed out the right-wing eliminationist language, their vocabulary, if you will, and how everything to a right-winger is a battle or a war or a fight, and things, and they name things jobs-killing health care repeal, you know. And they take dead aim, and they lock and load, and they reload, and they just can't seem to resist the language of death. The language of mayhem, the language of maiming, the language of slaughter, the language of agony, the language of injustice, the language that lies at the beating heart of the core of the right-wing being. And you may also recall that I have tried for years now to excise that stuff from my language. I don't always succeed. But if you're paying close attention, for instance, when I talk about that issue that is nearest to the well-being of me and my family and me, you will note that I long ago stopped referring to it as the fight against mountaintop removal. Because as a member of an organization that espouses and adheres to and believes in and practices nonviolence in the spirit of Dr. King and Gandhi, and I'm talking about Coal River Mountain Watch, we have an obligation to reject eliminationist language in all its myriad forms. And so you may hear me talking about the attempt to stop mountaintop removal in Appalachia, and unless I am very unguarded in my words, you will hear me refer to it as a struggle to end mountaintop removal. Because that is appropriate language. It is a struggle. It is also dangerous. Very dangerous. As Judy Bonds, for instance, learned when a supporter and an acolyte of Massey Energy stepped into a group of peaceful protesters and struck her in the head, even as we now know that cancer was growing in her brain. It is dangerous. But their violence cannot breed in us our own violent language. If for nothing else, for practical reasons, we don't have half the guns that they have. And they are willing to use them. So, just that thought on language. If you ever have described something as your fight against this, or your battle against that, or a war on this, or a war on that, do yourself a favor and excise the eliminationist language from your vocabulary. I'm not trying to censor you. I think it's just common sense. You know, we might have had more luck dealing with poverty in this country if we hadn't declared war on it. We might have had more success in dealing with the scourge of illegal drugs in this country if we hadn't declared war on them. Maybe this country needs a concerted and decided and determined effort to battle back the bugbear of ignorance instead of declaring war on illiteracy. I believe it was the Israeli peacemaker Yitzhak Rabin, if I've got my Israelis right, who said, "The history of humanity is written," and I'm paraphrasing, "the history of humanity is written in an ink made with blood." And if humanity is to survive, we would do well to start looking for another color. Of course, he paid with his life, did he not? Do I have the right prime minister? The one that was gunned down by a right-wing zealot? Yeah, Texas, Betsy, you're right. They can't even describe a dispute over a holiday, a dispute that they manufacture, without calling that a war on Christmas. War drives them. They are martial masturbationists. And that is how eliminationist language seeps into our own vocabulary. I suspect it will be a very busy evening. And I make you this promise. I will not fail to take a single call. If you want to discuss this, I think it is very important that you be able to discuss. What happened over the weekend. Before we go to the phones, and I'll tell you now the number, most of you know, but there may be some new listeners. We get new listeners all the time via things like Stitcher. There's an app you can get for your iPhone or your Android phone from Stitcher that will bring you the horn right through your phone. Isn't that cool? And there's an app called TuneIn Radio. And there's just plain old-fashioned, can you imagine calling iTunes old-fashioned, but plain old-fashioned iTunes radio, where we have been for years. And then there's the streams from White Rose Society, the stream that you can pick up via pop-up players at headonradionetwork.com. There's a lot of different ways to reach the program. And if you want to get on the program and you want to discuss the Tucson terrorist, I welcome it. If you want to discuss the culture and language of hate and eliminationism that has been fostered in this country by the right wing, I welcome it. The number is 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. If you don't need to call the toll-free line, you can reach us at area code 304-658-3333. Email comes in to Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, @gmail.com. I want to go to a couple of emails before we go to the phones, however, because they come from a very important place. I got an email today from Barry. It was the message line just said, "Hello from Tucson. Bob, I'm a listener and a supporter. What happened here can't be explained. I do find comfort in your show and the telephone conversations. Keep on doing what you do. Arizona is full of amazing people. Please don't get the wrong idea about us." And Barry, I don't have the wrong idea. I know that this entire country, Arizona included, is filled with amazing people. I come from a corner of America, Appalachia, where people are routinely stereotyped as being barefoot, ignorant, and violent, and some of us certainly are. But so many more of us are not. No, I will not stereotype Arizona out of this, but we will have to talk honestly about how this comes about. Because as long as these things are described as isolated incidents, they will continue to happen and they will continue to get worse. And that's important to note. They will get worse. But no, I don't have the wrong idea, Barry. And I thank you. I thank you for the time that you share with us in listening to the program and participating as you do. Then there's this, there's an email in from, our longtime dear friend, Fancy Free from the chat room. Fancy wrote earlier this weekend, she said, "Tucson," well, the subject line said, "from a very sad city. Dear Bob, Tucson
is not a sophisticated city. We're a frontier town, unpretentious and a step or two behind the feds, a live-and-let-live town that celebrates diversity. We're not exempt from terrorism, it seems. Gabby Giffords was a classmate of my daughter's. Her sister was a classmate of my son's. Her office is about 10 blocks from where I live. We're shocky and confused. In many cases, I believe the perpetrator is as much a victim as the victim. People who are provoked into violence by her hyperbole and invective are victims too. Wishing all quiet, peace, and a time of healing. And go back and pay attention to that line. The perpetrator is as much a victim as the victim. People who are provoked into violence by hyperbole and invective are victims too. It may be argued, and it will have to be sorted out in the justice system, as to whether or not this young man, this Jared Lee Loeffner, was insane at the time of the crime. I personally don't think he was. And the legal standards for an insanity defense are so high in this country as to render them almost useless. But it may well be argued that Jared Lee Loeffner was in fact a victim. And he was the victim of a culture that treats the mentally ill as utterly disposable. Of a culture where a greasy-headed old right-wing freak named Ronald Reagan defunded mental health facilities all across the country and turned the most weak, the most weary, the most wounded in our society out onto the streets. Jared Lee Loeffner may have been a victim of this country's failure to give a damn about him. So, in that respect, I think Fancy may have been right. There is too much tragedy to comprehend. A 9-year-old little girl . A 79-year-old great-grandmother . The wife of a husband. The couple have